Mastodóntica Podcast.
Bienvenidos amigos a un nuevo episodio del Mixtape, ya saben, donde usted personita que nos ve desde casa, la intención es que conozca música nueva, esto a través de invitados muy especiales que vamos a estar teniendo episodio tras episodio, hablar de novedades, lanzamientos nuevos, todo lo que está pasando en la industria musical, conocer su música, conocer su historia y todo alrededor de estos artistas muy especiales que vamos a estar trayendo. Hoy tenemos a una invitada muy especial, viene directamente desde el Reino Unido, Inglaterra, es baterista, es cantante, es productora, muy talentosa. Hoy está con nosotros Georgia, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, it's great to be here.
It's amazing to have you here.
Oh.
How's Mexico, welcome you. You gave a performance yesterday. How was it? The energy of the people?
Yeah, I mean, I've only played Mexico City now. That was my second time last night. Mm-hmm. I came here for Corona Capital back in 2019. So, I mean, it's just the best place to play. I mean, it's the audience's response was like, wow. I was like, what? This is crazy, you know, and it's just like, feed off that energy. I really love it. I'm very responsive to when the audience is high energy. So I feel like Mexico is the perfect place for me.
Yeah, totally. The energy of we the Mexicans, you can feed it, it fools you. It's crazy. Also in the crowd, we were talking to Lainey some days ago, and they said exactly the same. Yes, it's amazing, the energy. So
I came from a festival I played in Finland, a country in Scandinavia, like right at the top, almost borders Russia. And they are so different there, because I was playing, you know, my ha da da da, and they were just like that, and then coming to here was so different.
It's a culture, you know.
It was brilliant.
It's just everyone's different, but we are very proud to say that Mexican crowds,
the best.
I will say it's the number one. There can be some debate over that.
I agree. I think you guys have got a certain energy that's very unique.
And always the support to new artists, to new music is amazing.
Yes, yes.
Once they give you their heart and everything, they won't leave you unless you do something very crazy.
But hopefully I won't do that.
I don't think you won't. So the idea, Georgia, personally, I think your music is very underrated. I love your music.
Wow,
it's amazing. I was listening to it some days ago. I've been listening to the new singles also. I would like for people in Mexico to know you a little bit more. So I would like to ask you, how would you describe your music? Doesn't have to be a genre or however you want, but if anyone, if a Mexican comes to you and asks you, hey, what type of music do you do? How would you describe it?
Well, the short answer is, I suppose it's alternative pop music. The long answer is that I've always tried to be a bit genreless, like you can't really define my music. And I think that's always been a characteristic within the production, even though they're classic, the structures of the songs are classic pop, you know, you have verse, chorus, bridge, outro. A lot of my songs are that structure, but within that, it's kind of very explorative, and within an album I'll often have quite a lot of different sounds within it. It's not one continuous kind of straight kind of genre. It's a bit of a mix of a lot of different musics that I love, you know. And so I've always tried to be in my own lane, you know. Somebody the other day, a Mexican fan, he described my music as retro future. So I don't know if that bears any relevance, but I suppose, you know, I'm a big fan of music from the past.
Okay.
And I like sort of taking certain elements, production, songwriting, from that and modernizing it, and thinking about, yeah, the how to modernize sort of those sounds.
Totally. I, in your music, personally, I feel, like you say, a lot of influences. I feel electronic.
Mm.
I feel synth pop, electro pop, a bit of rap, maybe.
Yeah, in some songs. I grew up on hip hop. Especially
in the first album.
Yeah.
I think it was a bit more.
Yeah, 100%.
The first album, I think it was a bit more with those rap hints, a bit more
beats.
Big. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The second album, I think it was more into dance, the dance floor vibe, the night. Going out with your friends, all that.
Yeah.
And the new ones, I found them like dreamy, more ethereal. I don't know if that makes
Absolutely.
Sense for you. So, well, I have It's Euphoric on repeat. Actually, It's Euphoric is a banger.
Thank you.
What would you say it's your main inspiration for all these new singles that you're working? You just recently said that you took inspiration of music from the past. Mm. So any special inspiration? Mm. I don't know, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, this new collection of songs I wrote and produced with another producer this time, which was different from my last two records. And so me and Rostam shared this love of kind of 90s dance music, where it kind of was ethereal meets sort of pop, like Madonna's Ray of Light or Moby or like that sort of era. So I was really listening to that, like The Beach, you know, the film The Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that soundtrack was very like on repeat.
Okay.
And I think specifically I looked to that area at that time because there was a lot of trying to find yourself, you know, be open to the world, to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I was making this record, there it was during the pandemic. There was a lot of things happening in the world. There was a lot of social media things. There was a lot of like noise, like just being chucked at you. And so I felt like I just wanted to put the off switch on to all of that and just go and make an imaginative record. So the main kind of influence on this record is my imagination. And it was sparked by going to Los Angeles, leaving London behind, going to Los Angeles, going to a new environment, a new atmosphere, new landscape, new visual things, new for my imagination to just...
Okay.
So that was the kind of, that's the main inspiration. Really, yeah.
You mentioned Moby. I noted some Moby, especially in the first two singles, I don't know, in the new songs, maybe, but especially, I don't know if it was just me, but in the drums, there was something I said, this is Moby-esque.
Yeah, well, the how I kind of started writing all these demos for these new songs was I made breakbeats.
Okay.
So I was making kind of, like 90s kind of breakbeat. And then I was writing synth lines over that. So a lot of the aesthetic in the drums are breakbeats.
Okay.
And when it came to the sound record, when it came to the recording sessions with Rostam, we actually set up live kit and we made the beats and we put them through tape recorders. So it was like, it was really cool, you know, it's like breakbeat.
It's amazing. Yeah. I noted some of that influence also in speaking a bit more about other music also. Caroline's Polachek new album. I was talking with a friend the other day, and I say, there's a specific song, I don't remember the name, we're going to put it in edition later.
Okay.
But there's a song that also has that Moby-esque vibe on it. And I think it's amazing you're taking that as inspiration, because I don't think it's very well referenced in Moby. It's not a very usual inspiration, at least not in more commercial music, let's to say so, right? So, Georgia, what would you say is the main difference between the recording of your new album and the last two albums?
I mean, I think the main difference was that I went to a different country to make this record. The previous two were made in London, in my home studio, which is at the end of my garden. I live in like the center of London, so it's like very industrial. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to London, but it's very grey. It's very like, you know, go, very like urban, and you know, everyone kind of lives on top of each other and And I find that very inspirational at times, you know, especially to make electronic dance music. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. But I wanted a new adventure. I wanted to get out of my comfort zone and really kind of take a risk. Mm-hmm. And when Rostam, kind of the opportunity came, I was just like, I've got to do this, you know, this is how I could create something new and different and take the music elsewhere.
Another,
you know,
level.
I very much want to be in this career to develop and grow and feel like the music is, you know, getting better and better each time. So it just felt like this different way would bring a fresh approach.
Of course. Sounds amazing. I think it sounds very interesting, actually, to take that risk.
Yeah.
I can tell also from my experience that it's very hard to move from your comfort zone.
Yeah.
I'm a content creator myself, so sometimes it's hard to create new things, go outside from the things you always do. Which is, sometimes it's scary, you
absolutely
know.
Absolutely.
I'm sure it has also happened to you sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once you do it, once you put one step further into that, I think the things that come up are marvelous, and I'm sure the new album is going to be. What would you say is the song of the new album? You expect more for people to listen, the one you are, I need for people to listen this already, or has it already come out in the two singles?
No, I think there are two songs on this record for me that really sum up where I was personally. I mean, this is, every album is a very personal record, you know. I write very emotively from personal experience, or from people I'm observing, or friends, or blah blah blah, and they're, you know, this collection of songs very much sum up this journey I've been on. And there are two songs. There's a song called So What.
So What.
Yeah, and there's a song called All Night. And mobile phones on the floor. All Night is a real dance floor song, like inspired by kind of Daft Punk, but it's very outdoors. It's like going, it's like, yeah, it's like we're out in the jungle raving, not in the club raving. And then So What is kind of this very optimistic ballad. You know, I think the theme of this new record is definitely optimism.
Okay.
I wanted people to feel positive, high energy from listening to this record, you know.
Which is, I think, very important after a big pandemic, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We need it, and it's difficult times also. Apart from the pandemic, I think it's always to have that type of energy all the time. So it sounds crazy, a ballad and then Daft Punk references.
I'm very
looking forward to it. So we're going to go back into the new album in a minute. So I would like to know a little bit about you. I read about you. I think you have had a crazy life, I think. And I would like to put all of it in order, because I know a lot of you, but I don't know the order of all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know? So
yeah. There's been a lot happened.
So I know that you were into football.
Yeah.
You were a football
I
don't know if professional, almost professional football player.
I mean, I could have, you know, but it was a lot. It was, you know, 10 years ago when women's football was still in a difficult position in the UK. I don't know what it's like in Mexico, but in the UK, women's football was still very underground.
Okay.
Now, it's really taking off. So had that happened 10 years ago, maybe I would have, you know, pursued football, really.
It's
crazy.
Are you still into football?
Totally. I still play when I can.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a little bit more careful these days about injury.
Okay.
You know,
of course.
If I was to injure myself, it would impact on my live performances and stuff like that. But I totally play when I can, and I watch football all the time.
That's crazy. And when you were into football, you were already making your music.
Yeah.
So both things happened at the same time.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, from a very early age, since I can remember, so probably like 8 or 9, I was playing football and listening to music.
Okay.
So those two things were the most important things in my life.
Okay.
And it just so happened that they kind of, you know, my parents both were like, okay. My dad was like, she can play football. Let's, you know, pursue. And my mom was like, she can play instruments. So let's, you know, this is cool. Let's encourage it. Very lucky to have encouraging parents like that. So they just kind of, went hand in hand. I was like, one minute I was trying to imitate, I don't know, Jarvis Cocker, and the next minute I was trying to imitate Paul Scholes. So it was like, they kind of went hand in hand. But then when I hit the age of, I think it was about 15, 16, I was traveling from northwest London, which is like there, to south London, which is a long way. It would be like traveling all the way from northwest of Mexico City to the south of Mexico City, and it's a long way. And I couldn't do both. I couldn't pursue music and the football, just because the traveling was terrible. So in the end, I chose that I think I need to, like, leave football behind.
Of course.
So, yeah, around 16, 17, it was when I really pursued music.
Would you imagine an artist being a professional football player at the same time? That would be crazy. You were this close.
I was this close.
But I understand it's difficult. Both careers are very demanding. Right?
Well, exactly. I mean, when I was training for the team, we were training twice a week. So it was like a lot of, and then game match on Sunday. So it was like three days of the week. It was a lot, you know. And I was joining bands, and I was like wanting to like stay late at school to rehearse and da 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 da. And I couldn't do them both.
Would you say, well, Neil Barnes is your dad.
Yeah.
So you grew up with music around you all the time.
Yeah.
Since you were born. Would you say that being exposed to so much music, or the music industry around you, might have been the little, apart from the travels and all that, but might have been like the small difference that made you choose music over football?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think, you know, I definitely saw our lives change through the success of my dad's band. Mm-hmm. You know, we went from living in a small bedsit flat in London to suddenly my mum and dad owning their own house. And it was like, you know, I saw that you can make a living out of this.
Of
you
course.
Know, I didn't see that necessarily with women's football. It was
of
like
course.
Hard. You weren't going to make a living out of it. So it was, I think it, you know, now it'd be different. It'd be different.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Just 2 more 10 years, maybe. And maybe you will be in the Premier League right
well,
now.
Well, there maybe. You go. Well, I think, you know.
The multiverse, maybe.
Exactly. An AI.
Yes.
I'll have an AI.
Yes. Now, I would like to know how it was to grow up with all that music industry.
Mm-hmm.
I also read in internet that your room had a lot of
left field
stuff, yeah, and they were recording. How was it? Like, your friends came to your house and, let's make a song because here's my dad's instrument, you know?
Yeah, it was a bit like that, actually. I mean, so the bedsit flat that I was talking about was actually where Left Field wrote Leftism, the first record, which is the seminal kind of dance record.
Okay.
And yeah, that was my room. So it was very chaotic, you know, but I saw, my bedroom was synthesizers, musical equipment, you know. It's no wonder, it's no surprise that I love being in the studio, because I think that's just from childhood. I was around all of this. But yeah, it was wild, you know, growing up with all that chaos, my dad going on tour, like, you know, my mom dealing with 2 kids on her own, and, you know, meeting all these weird and wonderful people that were part of the whole Left Field scene. It was very intriguing to me. I was just like very intrigued by it from the get-go. And, you know, they would often bring me on tour. So I, as a young girl, would be taken up on stage. So I would see 20, 30,000 people, and I'd be up on my dad's shoulders, you know.
In Glastonbury, right?
Yeah. Glastonbury, Tea in the Park, which was a very big dance music festival in Scotland. So in the north of the UK. And, you know, I remember getting up on stage and, like, the crowd being like, and then me going like this, and the crowd going back. You know, it was really magical to see that. And I felt very proud. I was like, that's my dad, you know. I felt very connected to it. And I just wanted to be part of... I totally fell in love with the whole thing. I was you know, how come there are these many people all dancing to the same beat and this collective energy, you know? And then even to the the roadies behind the scene, like, why are they carrying this piece of equipment? And then where does that go? You know, I was just like completely... I didn't care about school. I didn't care about... And, it, you know, I was just like, that's all I wanted to really learn about, truthfully.
And how do you feel that some years later you will be in Glastonbury
yourself? I know. Crazy.
What were your thoughts when you were already there? Because, I'm going to speak a bit in Spanish. Para los que no sepan, Glastonbury es uno de los festivales más grandes del mundo. Es una cosa gigantesca. So, how was it to be there? You saw it as a little girl. You were there in the shoulders on someone else. And then you were playing there. What were your feelings at that moment?
I think like extreme kind of proudness, a pride of just like, you know, I'm continuing this on in my family. I think I felt, you know, very proud to be up on that stage, and you know, I really felt quite emotional, actually, on that park stage. It was quite like dreamy, because I was having to play the show and then I was also feeling all these emotions, you know, of like, wow, I remember being a little kid, seeing my dad, and, you know, I think also my mum was there as well. So that was very, you know, odd for her. She had seen my dad headline the other stage, and now she was seeing her daughter play the park stage. You know, it's crazy. You do have to take moments like that and appreciate them. I think at the time you're just like, quick, let's just get get this done, go there. You know, it's like you have no time to really think about it. But then when you know, take a step back and a year later, and or you guys say, oh, how was that? And I'm like, damn, that was actually like really special, you know.
Unique.
Yeah, experience. Yeah, unique, yeah.
So, talking about Glastonbury, that performance, that was actually the first performance I saw from you.
Oh, wow.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You have your synthesizers.
Yeah.
You have your drums. You're standing up. And you're singing.
Yeah.
You're practically a one-woman band.
Yeah.
So how do you prepare physically for all that? I will be out in like 1 minute. And I don't know. How do you do that?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot. Yeah. I have to sort of prepare mentally and physically. You know, I get fit beforehand. And
the football was for that.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
All happens for something.
Well, yeah. I've always kept very sporty, like going to the gym and like including physical activity. And yeah, wellness is I have to do that as part of my life, you know. And so before tours, I'll get into physical shape and like, yeah, because playing the drums, standing up, singing, like, you know, feeding off the energy of the audience, making sure they're having a good time, you know, because that's my number one
goal.
Has always been that. That's what I learned from my dad, you know, that the live show is an experience for the audience. That's the main thing. So I've always, you know, in whatever circumstance, I always put my all into it because I know that the audience will react to that, you know. So it's very tiring though. I can't think one show I'm like, oh, I'll pace myself, you know. I just go 100% in, you know.
Do or do not.
Exactly. I'm a bit like, you know, I always think of Eminem, 8 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of like, dun, 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 dun. Or like I'm going out boxing or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Crazy.
And yeah, so it is a lot of work. Yeah. But now actually, for the new songs,
mm-hmm.
I've got a band. So it takes a little bit of stress away.
Okay.
Because
nice.
These songs are new challenges for my vocal, you know.
Of course.
So it is hard sometimes to really focus on my performance of my voice.
Okay.
With having to, you know, physically play. So it's been nice to
delegate.
Pass, exactly. Yes. Delegate a bit of the drumming to my drummer, she's a fantastic drummer. So, yeah, it's been nice to, you know, that the live show's kind of evolved as well.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. What would you say is your favorite song to play live?
Oh, gosh, that's such a hard...
It's a hard question.
That is a hard question.
There's always one, I think.
I mean, I do think like About Work the Dance Floor has this special energy to it. I think people from the get-go sort of dance to it. They love it.
Of course.
And I do this bit in the middle where I get the audience to put up their hands and
yes.
jump, and it just feels like, yeah, it feels like always like a special song to play because it always gets the crowd going.
It's a great song.
It's,
actually.
Yeah.
It's actually a great, which was also from, well, it was my favorite part from the Glastonbury performance.
The
energy was amazing.
Yeah.
Actually, because the crowd in like you say, in Europe is a bit more cold, but that crowd I saw was moving. They were energized.
Yeah.
They were crazy. So you can tell that when an artist is playing with all his heart, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of my fan base now are, you know, people who want to have a expression and time live, you know? I think the Georgia fans are dancers. They like to move and they like to, you know, have it a bit. So it's nice to feel that energy.
It's crazy. I would like to move on.
Yes.
Some, let's say, very specific questions.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I would like to know about more about what you listen to. What would you say is the song you're listening the most right now? Your favorite? You have on rotation? Anything you're listening to? Like, this song is crazy.
Yeah.
I gotta listen to it.
Yeah. Beach House.
Beach House.
American Daughter, that song, off their new EP.
Okay.
It's such a beautiful song, and it just has this like intensity running throughout the song, and I can't stop listening to that song. That song is literally on repeat constantly. I think I've had it on repeat ever since it's come out.
Since it came out. Yeah. Beach House is amazing. I love Beach House also. Yeah. I love from their last album before the EP, there's a song that's called Superstar.
Yeah, I love Superstar.
It's amazing.
I love what they're doing. It's unique. You know, again, it's like what we were talking about of, you know, you can hear all the influences of past music, but then they're taking it and making it their own thing. And she's just got such a cool voice, amazing. You know? It's like this floaty, but yet punky and kind of raspy voice. I really, really love it. I'm a bit late to come on to Beach House.
Okay.
A lot of, you know, because they've been around for a long time.
Yes.
So, and it wasn't until I went to Los Angeles and Rossam's boyfriend, James, we were driving around LA with it at night and he put on Beach House.
Okay.
And we were driving late at night and it was like, you know, it just felt really like atmospheric and I was like, whoa, I love this is cool, you
like
know?
The main character,
yeah exactly, right. Exactly,
in a movie
exactly,
hence,
like
hence out of the car, yes,
exactly,
you're floating
exactly
in the
it was very cool. And then yeah, from then on I if I had my phone here I could show you how many times I play the American Daughter. It's just on repeat.
It's crazy. Talking about music, now that we came into music in 2023, what would you say is your favorite album from 2023?
Wow. Yeah, there's been amazing releases.
A lot of
releases.
The first one that comes to your mind.
Ah, here we go. Here's all my... Sorry, I was like, here we go. This is all my new music here. So, there's an artist called... Caroline Rose.
Caroline?
You know her?
I think I've heard of her.
Yeah, and her album is called The Art of Forgetting.
Okay.
Yeah, and the cover looks like this. It's really cool.
Okay, you can show it to, I don't know if it's it.
Caroline
it has,
Rose? Fire coming
fire
out.
On it.
Yeah. This album is really good. Somebody recommended it to me. And she does all the music herself, and she maybe even like self-releases quite a bit, but the album is really beautiful collection of songs.
Okay.
So I'm going to say at the moment, this is my favorite album of 2023.
It's amazing. I have two songs actually.
I don't know
her. So yeah. I listen to a lot of music, so sometimes I forget to I forget the name and the face and everything. Right?
Yeah. No, but this I really do I love it. Absolutely love it. It's a great album. As a whole album. I mean, I tend to listen to whole albums.
Of
you
course.
Know, I'm a bit old fashioned like that.
Yes.
Cuz I like hearing the whole
experience.
World that the artist is trying to create. Like definitely my favorite record of 2022 was Rosalía Motomami, and that whole record for me was just like the most perfect from start to finish because you enter her world, you know. So I like listening to albums. I'm a bit old fashioned like that.
Rosie's crazy. Shout out a la Rosie.
Yeah. Shout out. Amazing. And yeah, so I really like that record. That record for me feels
any song in particular that you say this one is my favorite?
Yeah, I have
so
one.
So maybe
start.
We can put it on.
So there's one song called Miami, which I
Miami.
Yeah, I've starred that one, so maybe I really liked that one.
Miami, Caroline Rose.
Nice.
Julieta Venegas is a very famous Mexican singer.
Really?
Here she's like big here. She's one of our goddesses.
So I'm going to check her out as well.
She's amazing. She's been doing pop and also, well, a lot of different styles also.
Oh, yeah.
But she's great in here. So, amazing. Well,
thank you. That honestly, that's really, I love it. I love, I think I should have maybe got a bit more in tune with what's happening here in Mexico before coming. I mean, but it's been hard because I've just been in my own world for like the past month. It's a bit of a sad confession, but this is fantastic. It's wicked to know.
It's amazing. There's a lot of other artists in Mexico. I can show you more once we finish here.
I'd love that.
The scene here is crazy. Obviously, many of them doesn't get to other countries. Not only because marketing issues, maybe just the algorithm in the app is just showing artists from that country, and that's why
I see.
Yes, you have to dig in it. Yeah, you have to look for them. That's why.
Yeah.
I love going crazy in Spotify and start looking for new artists from every part of the world. Yeah. I don't know what would be your favorite way to find new music.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. It's quite hard nowadays because even though we have access to so much information, I find it hard to sift through it all. There's just so much. Often recommendations are still my favorite way of finding new music. Like, I have very close friends in this industry, like different producers, different artists who's like, you know, we exchange like, oh shit, have you checked out so-and-so? This is wicked, you know, blah, blah, blah. When I worked with Muramasa, like Alex and I would spend hours talking about new music because he's like totally like, I don't know how he finds his new music, but he's like ahead of the game before it's like even. So like, you know, there are a couple of like people I'll turn to and get the recommendations, or, you know, like I'll still, exactly as you said, like on Spotify, listen to something, oh, it's featuring that artist, da da da, click on them, discover that. And I tend to sometimes go to specific record stores in London. So I still go and buy physical, especially for dance records or I'll go to specific shops in London. There's a shop called Fonica Records, which is like very, very dance, house, techno specific. So I have a guy there who is my friend who I've like cultivated a relationship with for a long time. So I'll go in there and he'll just pull out the new releases. Yeah, it's wicked, you know. And then I'll spend a ridiculous amount of money on physical releases. But I love that as well, you know? Like, we went today, I got taken to a record shop here in Mexico on, it's called Ruid Records.
Ruid?
R-U-I-D Records.
Okay.
And wow.
There
amazing.
Are a lot
of- well, like very old, specific, like salsa from like, ranging from like cumbia to like, you know, all the different stuff. And very like old releases, first pressing. So that was wicked. So that's not new artists, but that's like.
I mean, there's a store, record store that I personally love too much, which is La Roma Records.
Yes, somebody recommended this record store, so I'm gonna head there tomorrow.
It's like I think Mis Amigos de México ya digan si es la más famosa. I think it's one of the most famous record stores here in Mexico. Personally, it's my favorite. It's crazy. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's vintage. A lot of artists go there to make some signings and events. It's crazy. Last time I was there, I was with Metronomy.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, shout out to Metronomy.
I love Joe. Shout out to Joe.
They are really good guys. So it's crazy to know. Actually, not many people mention they discover music through going and physically bought the music, which is not very common. It's not, at least I don't think it's the top answer for anyone today.
I'm quite old school in that, like, you know, like
I remember the days that my dad would take me to very specific, in London we had very specific record shops for different genres. So you would have your the shops to buy jazz records, you would have your shops to buy techno, you'd have your shops to buy house, you know, very specific record shops, hip hop, you'd have like rock and metal and like, you know, all different types of record shops where you'd go specifically. And I was very much like introduced to record buying in that way. And I ended up after university working in a record shop for 3 years. So I sold records for 3 years.
Yes, of course.
So it's very much, I love that kind of interaction you get with the shop and people in the shop. Like, as I said to you, my guy in Fonica, he just, he just knows, oh, geez, and let's bring out all the records and, you know.
It's like your dealer.
Yeah, exactly. And last time I was in there, Honey Dijon, she came in and she was like, they were like, oh, Honey's in, get the honey. You know, it's like, it's cool. It's wicked. It's like, I like that. I you know, and I used to have to do that for other artists. So like, you know, we used to have quite big kind of artists come into our record shop, like Jimmy Page and stuff like that, you know, and you know, Nigel would be like, Georgia, Jimmy's here, I'd be like, oh, get out all the records for Jimmy, you know. Or we even had Elton John. Yeah, I remember one evening my boss came up to me and said, oh, we've just had a phone call from Elton John's people, he's coming into the shop, he wants to really buy lots of vinyl. Because I think what happened with Elton was that in the 90s he got rid of all his vinyl collection for CDs, because that was the main form of listening to music. So about 10 years ago I think he was like, you know, wanting to rebuy all the vinyl, and he's such a big fan of records. So we were told, okay, this is going to be a big deal. So we had to close up the shop, and like we had to like specifically all had like, you know, wear good things, and that he came into the shop and we were like, you know, and he was like, oh, hello everyone, I'm here, da-da-da. And we had to like assist him to buy records. It was wicked, you know. Yeah, it was Elton John, you know.
I will have died in that moment. I mean,
yeah, it was just wicked. He was like, oh, any new artists? We were like giving him, I was like giving him the most obscure records. I gave him a Death Grips record.
Okay.
You know Death Grips?
Yes.
Like a penis on the front cover. I was like, here, Elton. And he was like, oh, this is interesting. You know, stick it on. Yeah.
I'll take it.
He loved it. Absolutely loved it. And like, oh, he's amazing.
I wonder if Elton John listens to
Death Grips.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm sure there's an evening he goes, stick that Death Grips song on.
I feel crazy today.
Yeah, I wanna fuck some shit up.
That's a very interesting story.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Elton John. So, talking about craziness, I would like to make some crazy questions to you.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if they are that crazy, but I think they are fun. Okay. At least. So, let's imagine there's a new social network.
Ooh.
Today. Well, there was. Yesterday there was a new social network, but
what is this? Threads.
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 It's like Twitter.
Oh, Threads.
Threads.
Ah, yes, I have heard
it's
of
the
this.
Same like Twitter, but
yeah.
People is moving from
did
Twitter.
Did it take off or did it?
Well, I got a lot of followers in one day, so
okay.
It's great. So let's imagine you are not in Threads right now. Let's imagine, because it's linked with Instagram.
Ah.
But let's imagine you don't link it up with Instagram.
Okay.
So, and you have to create your nickname. But you can only create your nickname with two things. Your favorite meal and the last song you listened to before coming to the interview.
That's crazy. My name is gonna be crazy. Because my favorite meal is matzo ball soup.
What? Ah, okay.
So it's a very like Jewish soup with like we call them matzo balls.
Okay.
Because they're made out of matzo, which is like a wheat flour.
Okay.
but it's like chicken soup. It's like the classic, but we call it matzo ball soup. So I guess that would be the first part. And then the last song I listened to, I don't know whether I'm going to be told off because I don't think it's a very appropriate song.
Doesn't matter.
Which I've been told recently.
This is for... Aquí pura bandita. Aquí más 18, ¿verdad?
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so the last song I played was actually Diva by Beyoncé.
Diva?
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Possible Diva.
Possible Diva. It's a great nickname. It's awesome.
Come on, I might get that tattooed now.
You should put it on Instagram.
Matzo ball.
You can leave the Georgia.
Matzo ball soup diva.
Yes, on Instagram you can leave. Or if you get into threads. The thing with threads is that you can link it up with Instagram and it takes all your contacts and the same. It's like an extension from Instagram. But you can also use another account, I think. So if you join, you could use that.
Matzo ball soup diva.
It's great.
Matzo ball soup diva.
I love it.
What's your artist name? Matzo ball soup diva.
Yes.
Have you heard the new song by Matzo ball soup diva?
Matzo ball soup diva. It's amazing.
I love it.
What would be the first single? The first single for Matzo ball soup diva.
Remember to boil the chicken.
That would be great. You can go Infraganti into threads and put that username.
Remember to boil the chicken. Da 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 da. Matzo ball soup diva.
You now have a new idea for a new album. It sounds great for a.
You heard it here. First off.
For a new album, it sounds crazy. Like some experimental EDM, something like that. Drum and bass. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think it could be good.
That's a nice experiment. I didn't expect to get an answer if I'm being honest with you. So, last question. So, I think this one is easier. If you could choose one color to describe your music, let's imagine your music is just one color. What would that color be?
Well, it's very interesting you ask that because actually the artwork for the new record is very different colors. And we specifically did that because that was meant to be the interpretation of my mind, of the imagination. You know what I was saying? Okay, imagination, yes. Influencing the record. And it was interesting because we actually discovered, like, there's this photography called aura photography where there's this camera that could take a picture of you and it will bring out a certain color around you, and that's your aura. And then there are readings for which color means or is symbolizes, like red could mean passion, romance. Okay. You know, if you have like yellow, it could be, I don't know, if no aura comes, you're... You're dead inside.
Yes, but
it's interesting because, colour is a big theme of the new record. For some reason, I always think of like this sort of golden pink colour.
Golden pink, okay.
Yeah, like a pinky, like warm pink.
Okay.
Like a bit like that behind you, like not neon, but like warm pink. Okay. Because there's a specific time in LA around 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
where the sun...
The golden hour.
There you go.
Okay.
That's it.
Amazing.
The golden hour. And that, I think, was very inspiring making this record.
Okay, that's great. Because I personally imagine your music as purple. I don't know why.
Okay.
That's why we put this color today. It was an idea also from the team.
Well, I did say that color.
Yes, yes.
So maybe in my glasses it looks pink, but maybe it's purple. Kinda.
So we are
We're on the same page. We're on the same page.
We're connected. So, well, that's all for it. I think that will be all for today. Georgia.
It's been a great podcast.
I had a great time. So, I don't know, would you like to say, first off, where can Mexican people, all your fans, find you, your socials, your Spotify, your Apple, anything?
Sure. So, please follow me on Instagram. And my handle is at Georgia UK, all one word. And that's the same for my Twitter, and it's the same for my Facebook. And then I think if you just type in Georgia UK in Apple, Spotify, Tidal, it will all come up with, you'll see my face, actually. You'll see this beautiful face, and you'll recognize that it's, oh yeah, it's that girl that chatted shit for about an hour.
Anyone you want to say to the fans about the new album?
I'm so excited for everyone to hear this record, and particularly Mexico, because I know that when I come here and play, it's going to be such a fun experience. So I'm just like, everyone's got to go and buy the record on July 28th. That's when it's out,
and it's called Euphoric.
Euphoric, yeah. like the single.
Exactly.
Perfect. Any performances in the next day?
I don't have any dates yet, but there are, it will all be announced. So that's why I head over to my Instagram and we'll announce, dates.
You're coming back.
We're coming back.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. So thank you so much, Georgia, for your time. It's been amazing. Love to share music with you. I think that's what connects all of us in this industry.
Absolutely.
Your story of life is amazing. Your music is amazing. You're a very underrated artist.
Thank you.
So, quédate allá en casita, por favor. Se los imploro. Escuchen la música de Georgia. Es estupenda. Damos por terminado el capítulo de hoy. Esperen el siguiente capítulo. Ya saben, síganos aquí en nuestras redes sociales. Campanita. Suscríbanse y comenten qué artista les gustaría ver aquí. Would you want to shout out any artist to come here? Like a tag, maybe.
Yeah.
Tag, like the podcast tag or something like that.
Is it? Yeah. What to?
Whoever you want.
Muramasa.
I was thinking about.
Yeah, get Alex here.
Muramasa.
Shout out Muramasa.
Shout out Muramasa. Yeah. It's Alex, right?
Yeah, that's his name.
Yes.
I don't know if that's. Maybe I've just exposed him. Muramasa.
Revealed. Here in the exclusive, Muramasa is Alex. like if there are no many Alex in the world, right? Muramasa's next. Let's hope we can have him here.
Yeah, definitely. So, I'll text him now.
Yeah, please. Yeah, of course. My name is Ciro, so you can tell him.
Exactly.
Come with Ciro to the El Mixtape.
El Mixtape is the name of the podcast.
So it will be great to have him here. And anywhere, when you come back, also we can keep sharing music all of that. That will be amazing. And to see you, I couldn't see you yesterday, I will make sure to see you next time you're here. Thank you so much, Georgia. Gracias a todos allá en casita. Nos vemos en el siguiente capítulo. Adiós.